ॐ जिनमिनन्दस्य जनजनशलकया चक्षुसुमिलितञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्तफीतां जिनभूतले स्वयं रूपदमयां ददति सपनन्तिकम् पञ्चकपदुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैश्च स्तिचरं भविनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Earlier in this chapter, chapter 7 of the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj began describing what he had learned from Narada Muni while he was still within the womb. And he described how one should be searching for the soul. And the methodology he described was quite Jnana Yoga, not really Bhakti. But one should be searching out for one's actual identity. Because what a difficult position we are in when we don't know who we are. If we don't know who we are, we consider ourselves, think of ourselves as who we are not, which is more or less the definition of illusion. And not only should we understand ourselves as soul, search for our true identity within the covering of the material nature, one should also search for the super soul. And then the soul, ourselves, should surrender to the super soul. So after describing that we should surrender to the super soul, Prahlad described the process of devotional service, the basic principles from beginning from Adho Gurush, Padashraya, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru, and the hearing and the chanting and the deity worship and glorifying the Lord. And then he described how that develops, that devotional service uncovers our true identity, and the soul acts in his actual identity in relationship to the Lord, and then he feels such ecstasy. And practically speaking, he has nothing to do with the material world at that time. And then, after describing what the soul is capable of, Prahlad describes the contrary position and exhorts his school friends not to try to enjoy the material energy. What is the use of that? What is the use of accumulating so much paraphernalia based on the body, trying to enjoy it? It's all temporary. And here, we're concluding the end of that section. Prahlad was preaching so strongly, don't do this, don't get involved in the temporary, you're eternal. Fix yourself on the eternal platform. And if you're not ready to completely be on that platform, use your material situation, whatever it is, to point you towards that spiritual eternal platform, Krishna conscious platform. So everything that we can possess is temporary. Everything, the body itself is temporary. Everything connected to the body is temporary. And Prahlad's going to speak about that, text 4. Since the body itself is ultimately meant to become stool or earth, what is the meaning of the paraphernalia related to the body, such as wives, residence, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasury, animals, and ministers? They are also temporary. What more can be said about this? All this paraphernalia is very near and dear as long as the body exists. But as soon as the body is destroyed, all things related to the body are also finished. Therefore, actually, one has nothing to do with them. But because of ignorance, one accepts them as valuable. Compared to the ocean of eternal happiness, they are most insignificant. What is the use of such insignificant relationships for the eternal living being? Insignificant. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, Tuchavad, they considered all their aristocracy, their aristocratic birth, their wealth, whatever, anything on the material level, they considered it insignificant. It was not difficult for them to be renounced due to their fully developed Krishna consciousness. Prahlad continues, "My dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, the living entity receives different types of bodies according to its previous fruit of activities." This is why we're in this particular body we're in now, with its particular characteristics and specific abilities and debilities, talents, desires. Everything is due to our karma, previous fruit of activities. Thus, he, the living entity, is seen to suffer with reference to his particular body and all conditions of life, beginning with his infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruitive activities which result in hardship and misery? So a complete condemnation of material life by Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada's purport. Kamana daivanaitrena janto deho papapadhaye. The living entity receives a particular type of body according to his karma, or fruit of activities. The material pleasure derived in the material world from one's particular body is based on sexual pleasure. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukam hitucham. There's that expression again, tucham, insignificant. So the pleasure of that the grihamedis, or the households, materialistic householders feel is from sexual enjoyment is actually insignificant. The entire world is working so hard only for sexual pleasure, to enjoy sexual pleasure and maintain the status quo of material life. One must work very hard, and because of such activities one prepares himself another material body. Prahlad Maharaj places this matter to his friends, the Asuras, for their consideration. Asuras generally cannot understand that the objects of sexual pleasure, the so-called pleasure of material life, materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor. Such temporary pleasures, such hard work. So Prahlad is saying, and Prabhupada especially is saying, this is not worth it. The living entity who has received his present body because of his past fruitive activity may end the results of his actions in this life. But this does not mean he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus, he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death, because of his gross ignorance. Prabhupada's purport, we'll start about a third of the way down. In this life, one must select the goal of life and act accordingly. Having received instructions from the spiritual master and the Shastra, one must be sufficiently intelligent That means that the intelligence that we have, we should gain the intelligence from Guru and Shastra and Vaishnava, Sadhus, and act according to that intelligence. The intelligence is the next door neighbor of the super soul. It should rule this body and the activities. Intelligence should rule, not whimsy, acting according to the whimsical mind who goes to one place and then to another place, thinks of this thing. In 10 seconds, trying to enjoy 500 different things and rejecting the same things in the next 10 seconds. No, one shouldn't be ruled by such whimsical intelligence, whimsical mind, but one should be ruled by intelligence that's fixed on what it has heard and understood in Shastra and from Guru. In the human form of life, Prabhupada continues, one should not remain foolish and ignorant, but must inquire about his constitutional position. This is called the Tato Brahma Jigyasa. The human psychology gives rise to many questions, which various philosophers have considered and answered with various types of philosophy based on mental concoction. This is not the way of liberation. The Vedic instructions say, Tad Vigyanartam Sagarum Eva Bhigachet. To solve the problems of life, one must accept the spiritual master. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta gigyaso sreya uttamam. If one is actually serious in inquiring about the solution to material existence, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidi paripatena pariprasnena sevya upadakshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master by surrendering himself pranipatena and rendering service. An intelligent person must inquire from the spiritual master about the goal of life. A bona fide spiritual master can answer all such questions because he has seen the real truth. Even in ordinary activities, we first consider gain and loss, and then we act. Similarly, an intelligent person must consider the entire process of material existence and then act intelligently following the directions of the bona fide spiritual master. So this is to keep us straight in properly using our human life. So now Prahlad, from here until the end of this chapter, is going to reiterate again, what his conclusion is. The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of the devotees. Without desire, fully dependent upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord, worship Him, the Supersoul, in devotional service. Aniham harimisharam. Indifferent. Aniham means indifferent. Indifferent to the material results that will come to one according to one's karma, then Harim Ishwara, that Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, should worship Him. Atmanam, Anihaya, without desire for anything. Bhajata, worship. Surrender oneself to Him, worship Him, serve Him. Don't worry about Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. The two teachers, Sandana and Marka, were teaching the boys about this only, which is in the Vedas. Perform religiosity to gain wealth, so that Artha, so that one can enjoy Kama, and then Moksha, never mind that, never mind liberation from material life. But all those ultimately depend upon the dispensation of the Lord, His desire, what He chooses to benedict one with. Everything depends upon Him. So therefore, just depend upon Him from the very beginning. Don't worry about these other things. Prabhupada's purport. These are the words of intelligence. And this is Prahlad's conclusion. Worship the Lord with devotion at every step. This is what he wants to tell his school friends and everyone. Worship the Lord with devotion. These are words of intelligence, Prabhupada says. Everyone should know that in every stage of life we are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Dharma religion which we accept should be that which is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavat Dharma. This is the instruction of Krishna, Sarvadhamam Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. To take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna means to act according to the rules and regulations of Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service. As far as economic development is concerned, we should discharge our occupational duties, but fully depend on the lotus feet of the Lord for the results. We should fully depend on the lotus feet of the Lord for the results. Karmani evidakaras te ma paleshu kadachana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. According to one's position, one should perform his duties, but for the results, one should fully depend upon Krishna. And Rotama Das Thakur sings that our only desire should be to perform the duties of Krishna consciousness. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanivas. Janame janame hoy e abilas. And to be in the association of devotees. Keep our desires focused upon our relationship of service to Krishna. We should not be misled by the Kama Mamangsa philosophy, which concludes that if we work seriously, the results will come automatically. This is not a fact. The ultimate result depends upon the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In devotional service, therefore, the devotee completely depends upon the Lord and honestly performs his occupational duties. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends to depend completely on Krishna and worship him in devotional service. Prahlad continues, 49. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. So Atma, the soul, is Krishna's energy. And the body too is Krishna's energy. So every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear and he is the supreme controller. So the Lord, as the super soul, is in everyone's heart, and we as living entities are his energy. And again, the same point. Therefore, we should seek his shelter. He is most dear. He is naturally most dear to us. But now he seems so far away. It seems so unnatural to depend on Krishna as we depend on everything else in the material world. But actually, regardless of what it feels like, we are consciously or unconsciously depending upon Krishna. We have to. We can't avoid it. Again, Prabhupada says, surrender to Krishna in devotional service. Text 50. If a demigod, human being, yaksha, gandhava, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation, he is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us, the Mahajanas, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. So regardless of what one's position is, high, low, mediocre, exceptional, or unexceptional, exceptionally good, exceptionally bad, this good, quality, that bad quality. Regardless, one should take shelter of Krishna, because he can deliver liberation, because all those material qualities are the shackles of material life. So this is the auspicious thing to do on the path of the Mahajanas. Regardless of our situation. My dear friends, Prahlad continues, 51, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, because Prahlad has just said, you can gain, in the first verse in this section, he said, you can gain ultimately everything, your wealth, your religiosity, your desires being fulfilled, everything depends upon the Lord. And then, therefore, you should take shelter of him. And you're even completely dependent on him. You're his energy. Your body is his energy. He's a super soul. Therefore, he's naturally the dearmost object for the living entity. Therefore, you should take shelter of him. And regardless of your position, whether you're a demigod or a yaksha or rakshasa or this low, high, still take shelter of him. That's the most auspicious thing to do if it is done on the path of the Mahajans. So how to do it? I'm going to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. He's so powerful, he's so great. I must become this, I must become that. There's only one thing we must become. And Prahlad's going to explain that in text 51-52. My dear friends, O son of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's explaining Bhagavad Dharma here, actions to please the Lord. You cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette, or vast in learning, because these temptations may be in the heart. I want to do this and I want to do that to gain the qualifications. But there's actually only one qualification. So none of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord. Nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Sincere devotional service, what is that? Bhagavad Dharma. A sincere act that has no other purpose except to please Krishna. Not mixed. Anya vilasita sunyam. No other desires. Jnana, karma, anavritam. Anakulena Krishna anashilana. Very favorably, affectionately disposed to Krishna. And Krishna's, that which is connected to Krishna. Everything else, every other attempt, pretension, simply a show. Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Only if Krishna could be easily bluffed, how much easier it would be for us. There's only one thing he wants. Bhakti paritam asnami paritatma. Material elevation to life as a brahmana, a demigod, a rishi, and so on, are not causes for developing love of Krishna, love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Apichet sudara charo bhajate mamananya bhak sadureva semantavya samyak vyavasitohisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Sadur Eva. He must certainly be considered saintly. So emphatically Krishna says it. To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. So Prahlad previously said, don't be involved in this, don't be involved in that, don't be involved in that. Don't touch the temporary, don't get entangled in it. But do this now, he's saying. Develop your love for Krishna. That's sincerity. Prabhupada was once asked very, very early in the days of the movement about this philosopher and that philosopher. This was in 1966. Is he Krishna conscious? Is that philosopher Krishna conscious? Big Western philosophers, Kant, this one, that one, Nietzsche. And Prabhupada's reply was, their sincerity is their Krishna consciousness. So this is true for everyone. To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. Other processes may be helpful, but if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. Dharma svanustita pungsam vishvaksena katasuya no padiyed yadira tim shrama ivahi kevalam. Duties, dharma, executed by men regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. The test of perfection is one's unalloyed devotion to the Lord. My dear friends, Prahlad continues, O sons of the demons, in the same... So what is this devotional service sincerely done? What is it? Prahlad explains it. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the Supersoul of all living entities. What a brilliant explanation. So easy to understand what devotional service is. Brilliant explanation. Everyone can understand this. As we would like things done to us and as we act for our own benefit, so naturally, continuously, ceaselessly, in that way we should act to please Krishna. That is devotional service. For that Hare Krishna. So here's Prabhupada's purport. I'll read the verse again. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the Supersoul of all living entities. So such a clear way to understand. As we place ourselves so naturally in the center, we should place Krishna in the center and act for his pleasure. Prabhupada's purport. The word atmau pamyena refers to thinking others to be like oneself. One can very intelligently conclude that without devotional service, without becoming Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy. Therefore, the duty of all devotees is to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere, all over the world, because all living entities without Krishna consciousness are suffering the pangs of material existence. To preach Krishna consciousness is the best welfare activity. Indeed, it is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as para upakar, work for the true benefit of others. The activities of para upakar have been especially entrusted to those who have taken birth in India as human beings. Ambarata bhumite hoila manushya janmayar janma sartaka kari kara para upakar. The entire world is suffering for want of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all human beings born in India to make their lives perfect by Krishna consciousness and then preach the gospel of Krishna consciousness all over the world so that others may become happy by executing the principles of Krishna consciousness. Text 54. All my friends, O sons of demons, everyone, including you, the yakshas and rakshasas, the unintelligent women, sudras and coward men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities, everyone can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of bhakti yoga. So who's qualified to do this, to act in this way? Everyone, regardless of the externals of one's situation. We'll read the beginning of Prabhupada's purport. The devotees are referred to as a chutta gotra, or the dynasty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is called Achyuta, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Sanayor Ubayor Madhye Rattam Stapayame Chuta. The Lord is infallible in the material world. Achyuta means infallible. The Lord is infallible in the material world because He is the Supreme Spiritual Person. Similarly, the jivas, who are part and parcel of the Lord, can also become infallible. Although Prahlad's mother was in the conditional state and was the wife of a demon, even yakshasas, rakshasas, women, sudras, and even birds and other lower living entities can be elevated to the achyuta gotra, the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the highest perfection. So regardless, because one's parents dictate one's birth, what one's current situation. So even though Prahlad and the other demons were born in of Asura Gotra, the family of demonic personalities, but still they could join the Achyuta Gotra, the family of the infallible Lord, and become infallible themselves by connecting to Him through devotional service. So no one is barred from this, regardless of the externals of their situation. And then the final verse in purport. In this material world, within this chapter, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, etavan eva lokesmin pumsan swata para smita ekanta bhakti govinde yat sarvatra tadikshanam. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see Him everywhere, is the only goal of life. Ekanta bhakti Govinda. To render devotional service only that to Govinda. Yat savatra tarikshanam. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. So this is what Prahlad has told his school friends. Here's Prabhupada's purport. We'll read the first two-thirds. In this verse, the word savatra tarikshanam describes the highest perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. The highly elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. Tavara jagama deki na deki taramuti savatra hoya nija ishta deva spurti. The Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile. But he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere, he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. So how is that possible? That he doesn't see exactly the forms of everything. But everywhere he sees something manifest or connected to his Lord. Ishta Deva Spurti, manifest from his Lord. It's not actually hard to understand. Just like in a day, if we wander in this world, we'll see so many shoes. We'll see shoe stores with hundreds and hundreds of pairs of shoes, and we'll see people walking along, each wearing their shoes. But if we don't know the people, they have no meaning. All we see is shoes. But if somewhere, say if we're walking to the temple, and we see someone who we have so much affection for their we see their shoes, not even see them. Soon as we see the shoes of someone we love, what do we see? We see the person there, practically speaking. We see those shoes connected to that person who we love. So we become happy even upon seeing the shoes. So when one loves Krishna, whom everything is whom is the one that everything is manifest from, wherever he sees anything, he's going to see Krishna. And then so much happiness. So much happiness, so much protection. And to see Krishna everywhere in that way, this is the goal of our existence. Premanjana Charita, Bhakti Valochalena. It takes the salve covering our eyes of love. Premanjana, this is the magic wand, as Prabhupada described it, that causes us to see Krishna everywhere. Not once, Prabhupada had said, and that it's not that if you have love for Krishna, because someone may ask, have you seen God? But for one who loves Krishna, it's not that he has seen God. He continuously sees God. Everywhere he looks, he can't see anything but Krishna. This is the nature of love. Love for Krishna. So the Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere, he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. It is due to his love. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's Dagamam, Dagamam Deki, Nadeki Taramurti verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8-74. Even in this material world, a devotee does not see materially manifested things. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. This is devotee. This is a devotee. When he sees a tree or a human being, a devotee sees them in relation to Govinda. Govindam Adi Purusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. The test of a perfect devotee is that he sees Govinda everywhere in this universe. Even in every atomic particle, Andantarastam paramano tayantarastam. This is the perfect vision of a devotee. It is therefore said, Narayanam, I am dira pashanti paramartina jagadanan mayam lubdha kumuka kamini mayam. A devotee sees everything, everyone, and everything in relationship with Narayan. Narayanam, I am. Everything is an expansion of Narayana's energy. Just as those who are greedy see everything as a source of money making, and those who are lusty see everything as being conducive to sex, the most perfect devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, saw Narayana even within a stone column. And now we're going to start getting closer to Prahlad Maharaj's seeing the Lord everywhere, even in a stone column. and that will be Lord Nrisimhadev. So we'll stop here in this chapter and we'll continue now with chapter 8. This chapter 8 is entitled Lord Nrisimhadev Slays the King of the Demons. So Prahlad had completed his preaching to his school friends, telling them that they should worship the Lord, they should surrender to the Lord, they should have no goal in life other than a kanta bhakti to Govinda. They should wish to see God everywhere and serve Him and to render service to His lotus feet. If He's everywhere, and He's impersonal, could He have lotus feet? No. So the living entities should serve Him, His lotus feet, and see everything in relationship to Govinda. Now, he was preaching so nicely to his friends. The teachers were out of the room. Now we'll read the purports to the the verses one. Read some verses and purports. I think Narada Muni continued. He was explaining this to Maharaj Yudhisthira. All the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Sandana Marka. When Sandana Marka, the sons of Sukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of their association with association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. They read those two purports. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. Because what is Prahlad doing? He's opening up his heart. And what's in his heart? It's bhakti, love for Krishna. So being touched by that love for Krishna that is springing from the heart of Prahlad Maharaj, being touched by that sweetness, by that internal energy, the demons become deeply affected and they become devotees. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective, as it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkana rasayanaha kata. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teacher, Sandana Marka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. Contradictory to what Prahlad was teaching them, he taught them, don't worry about these things because they're all ultimately dependent on Krishna anyway. If he wants you to have them, you'll have them. If it's your karma, you'll have them if he so desires. So give up this type of education, give up that type of endeavor, but endeavor only to please Krishna, Bhagavad Dharma. So, contrary instructions, Prahlad and Sandana Marka, and Prahlad's touched their hearts so sweetly. And these other type of instructions, they touch our greed only, which is unsatisfying. Prabhupada's purport to the second verse. The word buddhim ekanta samsthitam indicate that as an effect of Prahlad Maharaj's preaching, the students who listened to him became fixed in the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is the only object of human life. The fact is that anyone who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instructions becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness and is not disturbed by materialistic consciousness. The teachers particularly observed this in their students, and therefore they were afraid because the whole community of students was gradually becoming Krishna conscious. Texts 3 and 4. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry. So much so that his body trembled. Thus, he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel. And feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. His son Prahlad was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Prabhupada's purport. When one is impudent towards a highly authorized devotee, so it's so interesting, who is the highly authorized devotee? Prahlad, who is 5 years old, and his father was acting impudently. Usually when we think of someone acting impudently, we think of the child acting impudently. But here the father was acting impudently. And who is his father? He was practically the most powerful person in the universe. And he was acting impudently towards his son. When one is impudent towards a highly authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. So we'll read again from Prabhupada's purport here. When one is impudent towards a highly authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. The duration of his life is diminished, and he loses the blessings of superior persons and the results of pious activities. Hiranyakashipu, for example, had achieved such great power in the material world that he could subdue practically all the planetary systems in the universe, including the heavenly planet, Swargaloka. Yet now, because of his mistreatment of such a Vaishnava as Prahlad Maharaj, all the results of his tapasya diminished. As stated in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.46, Ayushriyam yasodamam lokanashishayvacha hanti shriyam sisavani pumso maharatikrama. When one mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all diminished, all destroyed. So I'd just like to refer back to, in the fourth chapter of the seventh canto, when the demigods were approached the Lord meditating upon him, there was a sound vibration when they were afraid due to Hiranyakashipu's presence. Because he was performing austerities, he was becoming so powerful. The demigods became afraid. So they meditated, and a sound vibration came. And the Lord said, O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers. For these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. When one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the Vedas, which give all knowledge, of the cows, brahmanas, vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober, and who has no enemies, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. So we're nearing that point where the Lord is going to kill Hiranyakashipu because he's decided, now I shall personally kill Prahlad. So we're nearing that point. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.